Well, this is a first for me as well. First of all, this isn't really a sermon, it's a report, number one. Number two, when it comes to the Bible reading, this is the easiest Bible reading we will ever do in church, because all you need to do is look up to Joshua chapter 3. I'm just making sure I got that right, verse 5. In actual fact, we might as well read it together. So let's read together. So it doesn't say this bit on there. So Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Amen. Now I need to tell you very briefly, for those that have forgotten or never known, the significance of that particular verse and why we put it up there. So there was a Sunday evening that we had about 10 or 11 years ago. I remember it absolutely crystal clear. And Daniel Rolfe, many of you would know Daniel, serves the Lord in America, doing really great. We're thrilled about that. He was here that Sunday evening, just coming along. And as is my funny way, I know people in my job should have a case and be organized. But I use my Bible as a case, a filing cabinet, and I'm disorganized. And I was doing the Sunday evening service that evening, and I had a few notes down. And just before I came out to church, I open my Bible, I stick it in, and I come rushing out. I come up to church, I open my Bible again, pull my notes out. And right at the beginning of that time, Daniel steps forward and he says, I have a word from the Lord for you, for this church. And he said these words, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord is going to do amazing things among you. That in itself was great. Except for just at that moment, I looked down at my Bible and saw in the top left-hand corner, still in the same place today, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow I'm going to do amazing things among you. And it wasn't just that that word was brought, but I had randomly stuck my notes into my filing cabinet, as you might say, come, and there it was. And wow, that's where my Bible is open. And I've always remembered it like that. And I think it does us well to remember that that was not just kind of a nice thought. I believe that is God's word to us. It was back then that if we commit to dedicating our lives to him, he commits to doing amazing things among us. And how profoundly grateful we should be. So we had for those that are visiting, I need to explain this. We had an FIN, which translated, it's a kind of quirky thing we do, but it's a family information night. So way gone by, we used to have things called members meetings. Way past, we changed that to a family information night. And just to bring you fully up to speed, 10 years ago, we started to build a new church. You saw the video at the beginning, and we are really grateful. That was a church celebration we had there on the 21st and 22nd of October. So I think that is 4 weeks away. Did I say October? I'm sorry, September. Yeah, we're not there yet, are we? Oh, I just must apologise. I can see all your faces. I like my clothing to be really simple with no choices. So when I watched that video, I did happen to notice I was wearing the same trousers and the same shirt. And if you didn't notice, it proves just how insensitive you are. But I also have to say that clearly the dress for the day is blue check shirts. Well, for some of us. Okay. We had quite a shock before that FIN, that family information night, that we hadn't expected and didn't seem at first to be that big a deal. Just the impact hadn't struck us. But, and I will need to explain some of this, and some of it's not easy to explain. But on the Friday before, the insurance company that insures that building decided, for whatever reasons they chose to decide, when we approached them to say, can we make our renewal payment? They said, no. For we are withdrawing our cover from your project. Now, frankly, actually, that doesn't bother me that much. I know it bothers some people, but in and of itself, it doesn't bother me. However, what really is disturbing is that Michael points out to us that we have a mortgage on that building, and we are in contract to them to have that building insured. So we are now in a catch-22 situation, because we have done nothing wrong. We're not in any difficulties. Well, not like that anyway. And we have acted responsibly, and something has happened to remove that, which brings us into conflict with the company that provides our mortgage, a Christian company. And whoa. If that's not dramatic enough, it's really important that I say this in a balanced way. The gravity of that situation settled onto our shoulders, onto my shoulders, the Wednesday morning after the FIN, the Family Information Night, is that we were in genuine difficulties. We have done everything within our power to insure that building, and we cannot do so. That company has the our mortgage company has the responsibility to protect their investors. And as a result, they are saying, you have got to understand just how serious this is. You have got to bend everything. Do not take this casually. And they dropped a clear hint to us that in the event of us not being able to address this, the ultimate thing that would happen is they would need to repossess the building, sell it, and recover their debt. Now, I'm at pains to say, and they might well listen to this recording, so I need to get this absolutely right. I do not believe that they want to do that, or actually deep down have an intention to do that. But it doesn't alter the fact that it is true. So now we are in a really remarkable situation. I want to go back just a moment, because you know when sometimes God starts to move like this. I have to say, and I've noticed it among us this morning, prayer meeting, we laughed so much. I mean, if ever there's a time to be crying, it's now. There's just a joy in our hearts in the middle. In fact, Michael said something in the middle of the prayer meeting, and I'm not going to articulate this rightly. He said, God has always known that we were going to be in this situation from day one. He knew about this day, and he's loved keeping it secret from us, and he's loved telling us about it too. There you go. But sometimes you don't always pick up. Lorna, you're going to need a mic in a second. Can somebody give Lorna a mic? In a second. Some strange things happened. I need to tell you that this is just, sometimes, you know, God has to get your attention. And sometimes you're a little thick-skinned. And I started to realize something was happening. So a little while back, we planned an FIN for the 29th of October, which hasn't happened yet. We planned an away day as elders so that we could plan about moving into our new church. We got our dates muddled and communications got messed up and everything got the wrong way round, and I don't know how it quite happened, but we ended up having our FIN this last week. And I'm so glad that we're all able to say to each other, oh, the sooner we move in, the better. Little did you know. And I started to realise, when that came to the FIN, normally it would be my responsibility to cover a number of those issues we're discussing. And we had a range of 5, 6, 7 things to do. Normally, you know, one of us, sort out the agenda, pray about who's going to take each bit. Tim was doing this, Martin was doing that, Martin was going to chair it. And I prayed about who should do the new church stuff. Normally that is me, I didn't want to presume that. Felt the Lord said to him it should be Michael, and we ended up with an FIN without me doing absolutely anything. Now, that afternoon, the penny started to drop to me. I suddenly realized that we were in a situation that was quite different. And it's been really exciting and challenging. That passed. We talked to you about the difficulty we got with insurance. After the meeting was over, Lorna came forward and she said to me, while the meeting was going on, the Lord gave her a picture. Would you like to share that picture with us now?
You have to know that. I do get pictures, but I'm a bit frightened to bring them normally, so that's why I went and saw Paul afterwards. It was pitch black, so you couldn't see where you're going. I have no night vision at all, so it was absolutely pitch black. And then suddenly this big arrow, like one of the ones on the gantry signs, flashed up so that you knew which way to go on this really black road, which rather disappointed me because I wanted to move in next week. So I felt God very clearly say, no, I will show you. When the time comes, you will know without a shadow of a doubt which way to go, because I will shine my light.
Thank you. So I took that aboard. That was great. Mal and I, we talked about our Bible reading the next morning, which was when the Lord sent the 10, 12 spies into Israel, having come through the wilderness to Israel to see what the country was like. And 10 of them saw giants and obstacles. 2 of them saw potential. And they all saw the same situation, but they also saw it very differently. Some said we could do that. Some said we can't. We were saying to each other, we have got to keep our vision in the right place, that nothing is impossible for God. Then I started to think about the 21st of October, the little video bit clip you saw of that weekend, September. And I started to realize, hey, that wasn't just a celebration and thanksgiving. You thought it was that. I certainly thought of that. No, it wasn't. It was a practice. And God showed us what was potentially possible. And the timing of that. And somehow I began to realize that God was moving among us. And then it was a really strange thing. Tim spoke about, I wasn't here, we were in Norway, about unity one Sunday. The following Sunday, I'm leading the service. And again, you just have to trust me. I literally went like this. I felt God saying to me, you need to start the service differently. So I pray about, shall we pray, ministry, notices. I go through everything. I think, Lord, please, I'm just not getting this. And the verse that came to mind is, do not neglect the public reading of Scripture. So I said, okay, Lord, that's it. Which passage? And the Lord just laid in my heart like a flash. It just came to me how good it is when brothers dwell together in unity. For there the Lord commands the blessing. We didn't address it just because of that, but at the FIM we did too. I believe that God has warned us and spoken to us and encouraged us that wherever we go, we need to maintain a spirit of unity. That doesn't mean it's wrong to disagree. And we would encourage that. Well, we wouldn't encourage you to disagree. We'd encourage you to express it. There's nothing wrong with that. But there is something wrong with being divisive. That's a different thing. So, here we go. We cannot get insurance on that building. And worst case scenario is, all that we've worked for 10 years, we might lose. Let me try to explain the reason why. Basically, a building can only be insured 3 ways. Either as a construction building site, that best defines what we are, or an unoccupied building, or an occupied building. There's not within the trade another option to go for. Those are the 3. And the safest building from fire is an occupied building. Way down from there comes a construction site. That is also fairly easy to protect because it is so active. The worst by far statistically is an unoccupied building. That is a terror to insure. And statistically, that is what gets burned down more than anything else. So why are we an unoccupied building? Well, it goes like this. If a developer has any property or a portfolio of properties that he is planning to develop and he's pushing them up ahead of him to work on in 2, 3, 4 years, he can have them empty and unoccupied while the planning process is going through, etc., etc. Are you with me? Simply, if he can call it a construction site and put a guy in there painting the windows, his insurance bill massively drops. So they are not interested whether we view ourselves as a construction site or an unoccupied building. They're not interested. They are interested in statistics. So what's about the worst case scenario for being a construction site? Well, it's taking 10 years to do it, although it's only taken us 2 years, I know. To have a very small workforce and then have it valued by an outside company to rebuild at the cost of £9 million. We were just about the worst case. So no wonder the insurance company said, no more can we do that. And we couldn't see ourselves as being a construction site. We don't see ourselves as being an unoccupied building. So here it is. We have absolutely no choice whatsoever but to move into that building as quickly as possible. I don't think it's that exciting. And I will talk to you in a few moments about how that is going to affect us. But I would just like to say something, and I think this is really important. I want to honour Stewardship Services that gave us the mortgage in the first place. And I just want to remind us that though they are a Christian company and have been unbelievably supportive of us, we need to understand that they're equally responsible to the Christian donors that fund that organisation. And we hold them in the highest of respect. I really don't want us in any way to be negative. They are not the people that have caused our trouble. The insurance company that has done this to us could be liable in court. We're not interested in going there. But that's where the trouble is. So, all along, the Lord has always impressed on me, because among us are people who are organised minded. Are you? I don't know if you're like that, but you'd like to know not what's happening next week or the week after. You want a diary and you want to write it all down. You want to know exactly where you're going. Generally, those people are really boring. Or otherwise, there's people like me who are so good at writing lists on scraps of paper and losing them. They will not stay with me. But anyway, every day is exciting because there's a plan for tomorrow and God always knows what he's doing. Actually, I hope you know I'm jesting. But I tell you this seriously, God always said to me, take no thought about tomorrow. Today's worries are enough. And so we have always gone along just struggling with those days from. But there has been a mastermind over our project that always knows what he's doing. I want to give you a classic example of when this sort of thing can go wrong. I read it in my Bible reading this morning, and we did. So Jesus feeds 5,000 people. So here we've got a problem. There's 5,000 men, women, children, and Jesus says to the disciples, feed them. Easy. Then he says, oh, you have little faith, give me what you've got, and he feeds 5,000 people. A few days later, and there's another gathering, there's 4,000 men plus women and children. If that had happened to you 5 days before, what might you think might happen when you've got 4,000 people? But he goes to the same scenario again. He feeds them. Then he says to the disciples, you get into a boat, we're going to go over there and get some rest. They're halfway across the lake, and the Bible notes this in Mark chapter 8. It says this. The disciples had forgotten to take bread. You see, they too are disorganized, and they've changed the world. They forgot to take bread. So Jesus says to them, this is a masterful phrase, watch out for the teaching, the yeast of the Pharisees. They have a little discussion. And it goes like this. Which one of you forgot the bread? Who's responsible? How have we done this? How could it have come about? Did you notice that they've just experienced great faith miracles, but what turns out to be is self-recrimination, self-doubt, doubting of God's faith. I must have done something wrong. Have we angered him? And this floods into us in moments. I believe God would say to us today, we may have made mistakes on this journey, but he is not bothered about us forgetting bread. He's the miracle worker. What he is concerned about is that we trust him at all times, that he knows what he's doing, that we should put our trust in him because he called us to do this in the first place, to commit and consecrate ourselves, and he would do amazing things among us. So we're in a very remarkably difficult, don't think that's resolved yet. We're in a very difficult situation. An unoccupied building, no insurance. But I still believe, we believe with all of our hearts, this situation is God's situation. We either have a crisis or a God opportunity. So we need to work out what it's going to take us to move in. This is really practical stuff, really practical. So in 3 to 4 weeks' time, possibly the 3rd of November, we will be meeting in our new church. And it will be the last time that we meet in this building. Sadly, you will see a for sale notice going up. We have to do everything we can to genuinely model that we are moving into that building in order for us to get insurance that it will be an occupied building. We are working that out. And there will be some remarkable challenges. We might have to put carpet down. You know, putting carpet down is not part of construction, it's part of moving in the auditorium. We don't know yet. We haven't worked out all those details. We haven't worked out what we're going to do about toilets, except for the fact that we've asked Wendy and Abby to organise us with a permanent up there, nice, what's the phrase I should use, Wendy? Portaloo, no! Sorry, help me. Welfare unit. industry sensitive. Powder room. We will look not to hire two blue plastic. Rather, we will do our best to hire on a semi-permanent basis a toilet block that is really nice. We'll look to do that type of thing. And, you know, I'm about to say something that is terrible. But if that doesn't suit you, I'm ever so sorry, but there's nothing we can do about it because we have no choice. Do not think that we are doing something because we've got a new fanciful idea. We absolutely have no choice. So there we go. Now, listen, when we do this, doesn't stop us using High Street for the time being. The church office, Geraldine, over there. Richard, where are you? You're down here. These two are going to start to move the church office. It actually so happens that Sharon's on holiday. We're hoping to get the church office moved into the new building as quickly as we possibly can. Because again, it's genuinely moving in. We will then do our best. Our broker will do it to find us insurance and he will tell us the defined lines. We're doing our best to get the heating on. Our heating engineer is coming back on the 4th of November. Did you notice that's the day after we might have to meet there the first time? So we'll do 1 week cold. You've got coats. We can do it. We're hoping within that week we'll have the heating on. We have got a major problem right now with getting gas to the site that they've promised us would be put on about 2 months ago. Cadent, when they filled in our GT1, don't need to go into detail, filled it in wrongly. They admit it's their mistake, but they can't help us out. We've got to start the whole process all over again. So again, we need a miracle, a true miracle. And we've got to look to God for those things. Practically, we've had to do something. The the mortgage company have insisted that the building is occupied 24 hours a day. So Nick Crawford is up there at the moment, not come to church. He's gone up to that church, having a worship service on his own, I guess. We have to provide a night watchman. Charlie knows the building. I honour this. I phoned him and I said, Charlie, are you ready to sleep in our building as of tonight? 24 hours. He goes in at 6 and he comes out at 8 in the morning. And he just said yes. And that's just amazing. In fact, yeah, Charlie, thank you. We've got this quaint, I'm taking too much time. We've got this quaint little room that's actually one day going to be a disabled toilet. It's now a really luxurious bedroom. Oh, we need to move. We need help. We need heating, gas, all that stuff. There are other obstacles that could stand in our way, including building regs, planning permission. There are massive hurdles to go over. We want to say we're sorry. We're sorry because many of us were married in this building, baptised in this building. This has been our building for years. I want you to know that I honour this building as being a really amazing place. So have to suddenly just go when we're emotionally attached to it. It's tough. But I've also found myself laughing because I've thought to myself, as elders, we're going to spend ages talking about how to move. We have an FIN and you've all got your views. And then God says, we better not do it your way. Let's just do it without any planning. Let's do it overnight and let's not discuss it for too long. And we say, yes. This is his church. It's not our church. And do you know what? I know a man who ended his life in what was apparent total failure. And overnight, he turned it into world-changing, glorious victory. It is the same man that watches over our project. So I just wanted to finish, before Mark comes back again, with some verses from Romans 8 that you will know very well. The words come to my mind endlessly. If God be for us, who can be against us? Who will separate us from the love of Christ, it says? Shall trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword? And we haven't had any of those. As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. There would be evil powers that would look in and wish us evil. We sit on the edge of losing everything we fought for. We feel like sheep led to the slaughter. And then Paul writes these words. No. In all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, there are not any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all the creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. 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 That is true. Mark, would you like to come? So it might have to be next Sunday we're up there, but we're hoping for our plans. We'll see. And we ask you to walk with us. I know Tim needs help to keep the church staffed 24 hours a day. Tim, do you want me to say anything about that?
Yeah, just give me your
name. If you'd like to be up there for a while, we'd be really grateful. Saturdays and Sundays are our most challenging. That will change the moment we have our insurance sorted. We don't need to be doing that apart from no insurance. What else was I going to say that I've forgotten to say? I'm sure there's a whole load. Listen, some of you feel vulnerable. There are hundreds of loose ends. Hey ho. Nothing we can do about it. I'm not laughing at them. Here we go. Now, I've particularly asked, and we're going to spend a few moments in prayer in a moment, but I've particularly asked that we focus all our attention on worship for 10, 15 minutes. And it's easy for me to say this. I know that you want to break into praying kind of prayer, you know, Lord, get the gas on. Lord, get us nice toilets. Lord, get us insurance. I know that. But actually, when Israel went out to battle, who did they send first? The singers and the dancers praising God. Let's lift our voice of praise, because that praise is really important. Mark, thank you.
Amen.